Be seated. Just be seated. Just be seated. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated. I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate all that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight again. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, I know you've enjoyed all this music. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's just the best I've heard. I've been, Brother Brown, to a lot of churches. And I don't know if I've ever heard any better music in the world than is here. I mean, hey, I'm talking about large, large churches with hundreds of people in it. But the music here, just the quality of it, you just ain't going to beat it. And I know I say that every year. But I say it because it's absolutely true. And I appreciate it. And your church, things are great. I told the preacher today, you got a great spirit. And God's give you great facilities. You got a good thing going. Amen. And if you're a member of this church, I hope you wake up and smell the coffee on that thing. You know, the tragedy is a lot of people go to a church like this, and while God's visiting you and God's with you, you don't really realize it because you think it's this way everywhere. But it's not. And you need to just thank the Lord for what you have. And then pull together and work together and keep what you have. Don't lose this. Don't lose it. Keep it. You got a great thing going. And I thank God for Brother Bell. What a great man. I appreciate him so much. A dear friend, a great preacher, man. And I say this about your music, but you know, I go all over the country preaching. And I'll tell you, anytime you didn't want Brother Bell to be here, I'll tell you, there's 1,000 churches would cut their arm off to have him. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, listen, you got a great man here, and I appreciate your pastor. And this morning service here with old Brother Gray, Scott Gray, he did a good job. Great job, didn't he? And I know Monday night and Tuesday night and Tuesday morning we missed it with Brother Jenkins and Brother Bob Jr. I know that I missed some great services. And then tonight, for those of you that have never heard, Brother Brown, you're in for something. You're gonna hear what I believe to be one of the best preachers, not only today, but of all time. He's one of the best. I've heard lots of them, but this man, listen, when he preaches, things happen. Amen. He's a good one. I've never heard him preach that he struck out. I've never heard him preach that didn't make me want to do something more for the Lord. I love Larry Brown. You know, he come to my church. He's been there a lot of times. He's been with us a bunch of times. There, and I told him, when any time he's in the area, call me. I said, if you're in the area, I want you to come preach. If there's any way I can have you, I want you to come. Just call me. If you're going to be here, just call, you know. And he does. He'll call me. And one time he was at the church, and he called me and he said, I got a night if you want me to come. I said, yeah, come on. And God just gave him that message on blowing the whistle on the wolf. Yeah, he preached that in here. Hey. He said, the Lord give me this message. And he said, on blowing the whistle on the wolf. Said, I ain't preached it but once. It was in my church. And he said, be the first time out, you know, I've ever preached it. I said, bring it on, man. I said, I don't think I got no wolves in here anywhere. Listen, man, I had them coming out of the woodwork when he was done. Hey, there's a howling and a din. And boy, I'm telling you, there's running ridges. I had them every which way. But you know what, brother? What a message.
Amen.
And so he's preached so many classics. They all classics. I was with him up at John Jenkins a couple years ago. Me and Brother Brown were supposed to preach. And I told him tonight, I said, man, let me preach first. I said, I want to get out of the way of that train. I mean, he's a great preacher. You know, if you're walking the railroad tracks and you hear a train coming, if you got any sense, you better get off track. Well, I know Brother Brown, he's one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. And I just want to give him plenty of time, let him do it. Look, I'm for helping this meeting. It don't make no difference to me. I ain't here for nobody to, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be nothing. I just want you to get a blessing, and I'm telling you, you're going to get one tonight out of him. But anyhow, me and him was supposed to preach for Brother Jenkins in that camp meeting up there. Well, man, I'm telling you, that thing's, they get it on up there. I mean, it gets out of the banks. They shouting, and I mean, it gets on, buddy. And that night, Brother Brown, if you remember that, I was supposed to preach second. And I tried to talk Brother John. I said, John, let me preach first. Let Brother Brown have. Nope, once you preach second night, once you preach second. And I said, man, let Brother Brown preach. Well, I told God, sitting back, I said, Lord, now look. I said, Brother Larry's best preacher. And I said, I don't want to have to follow him. I said, how about you just show up and preach? And me and him, neither one won't have to. Buddy, hey, God got under that tent. You remember that, Brother Brown? And I'm going to tell you, listen, hey, it got so thick in there, I took my shoes off, boy. I said, it's holy ground. I ain't kidding you. Hey, I'm serious. I reached down and unlaced them and was carrying them around. Boy, I'm telling you something. God got under that tent. And Brother Brown was on the platform. You know, he was supposed to preach first. And I sat there saying, God, come on in here with this. I said, and that way we won't have to preach. You just preach. Boy, listen. Brother Brown come off that platform after about an hour, and he walked up to me and he said, Brother Darrell, you preach. I ain't a preaching in this. He said, God's in here. And I said, Brother Larry, I said, I didn't want to follow you. And I know I ain't following Jesus after he preached. Amen. I said, I ain't about to follow Jesus after he preached. I said, man, I wouldn't preach for a $1 million love offering. Amen. I mean, hey, I wouldn't preach for nothing in here. But you know, I thank God for God's men, and I love them. And I'm glad tonight to just be with your pastor and Brother Brown, just to be in the same building with him. I'm serious. And you folks to be here tonight, I'm honored. I thank you, preacher, for that nice room over there. It's far better than what we deserve. We appreciate it and everything you put in to make it comfortable for us. Thank you for everything. And the meal today, I appreciate everything, and it's good to be here. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read some verses and try to preach a little bit here to try to help you a little bit. I just want to encourage you some tonight. If I can, seems like that's the way God's leading me. You know, I can get up at night and preach on you know, things try to motivate you to serve. But, I my church, like this one, you know, this ain't first. And if God tells me to preach on soul winning or something, well, I'll do it. And I go soul winning about every day, nearly. I'm going to try witnessing somebody, and I make time to sit down and go every week. But it seems like if we could just sort of get ourselves healthy and get, you know what I'm trying to say, get to where we're in good shape, then we can go do what we're supposed to do. But a lot of time, people just limping in just to barely make it. And if you can get people to where they are spiritually healthy, they can get a lot done. And so tonight, that's what I'm trying to do, is just try to, and I'm not saying you're not spiritually healthy, but I'll tell you this. In a crowd like this, there's always people that's just hanging on. And that's the one I'm trying to help tonight. So I want you to look at 2 Kings chapter 20. And Brother Brown, it's good to see you, buddy. I sure love you and thank God for you. Good to meet you. Your wife, I'm so glad to meet her. And just glad to be here. Ain't you? Ain't you glad to be in this meeting? This just couldn't be no better, could it? 2 Kings chapter 20. Would you stand with me if you can? And respect to the Word of God. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore, Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. And behold, I will heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing as I stand here tonight, Lord, to preach the Word of God. Dear Lord, I know tonight that, Lord, I'm as nothing, and I pray, God, tonight that you'll use me to be a blessing in this meeting. I pray that you'll anoint me with the Holy Spirit of God. Bless Brother Brown as he comes. Thank you for the wonderful music and the great spirit and this good church and Brother Bell and his people and these visitors that come tonight. God bless each and every one of them. And Lord, may everybody get tonight what they needed to help them in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And I want to call to your attention here verse number 2 where it says, Then he turned his face to the wall, meaning Hezekiah, when he got this news. Now here's a man, the king, here was sick, and the Bible said unto death. In other words, he had the announcement of death on him. He was going to die. And God sent this prophet, Isaiah, in to see King Hezekiah, and he brought news in. And you know, these fellas, these old prophets, brother, they didn't try to put any salve on anything to make it any easier. I mean, look, preacher, he just walked straight into his room. He didn't try to comfort. He didn't try to do anything. He walked in and said, I've got a message. He said, Yes, what is it? He said, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, as far as I can see, that was about all he had to say. Amen. But brother, one thing about it, old Hezekiah didn't wonder what he meant, did he? And he left. And Isaiah then turned and walked out. And when he did, the Bible said Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. Some things to remember when you're facing the wall. Some things to remember when you're facing the wall. You know that everybody in this room, sometime in your life, is going to face the wall. And I'm talking about a wall that you can't do anything with. You know, it was out of Hezekiah's power to do anything about this. In other words, he couldn't just get up and move the wall. I mean, it was an announcement from God, from the prophet's lips that said, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned and left the room. And then Hezekiah the king turned his face to the wall, and he began to pray, and he began to cry out to God. Now, you and I wished I could tell you in here tonight that nobody's going to face any walls that you can't move. But you know, everybody in this room is one phone call away from a wall that you can't do anything with. Do you know I said this morning in here, and I can even do that in here tonight, we could look around over this room and, Pastor, you know this congregation. You know these people. And there's people that are in here tonight, no doubt, that maybe is facing a financial wall. Maybe you've lost your job. There's people in this room tonight, no doubt, facing a physical wall. Maybe that you've just recently got a bad doctor's report, or you're facing some extensive test that you're worried about. And don't know. I got a voicemail, I think is what it's called, on my phone right now from a woman that asked me, would you pray for my husband that's got had to have an MRI and may be facing some extensive back surgery and all of that. And today, just think, people facing walls, financial walls. And then there's people, listen, facing the walls of just heartache. maybe of a wayward son or a wayward daughter that's far from God, that they've tried to train right and tried to teach right and tried to keep them in church. And when they got up old enough to leave the house, they got out and they're out there doing exactly opposite of what dad and mom tried to train them and what they heard from their good pastor. And tonight when you lay your head on the pillow, you wonder where they are and if they're all right. You don't know even if they're alive sometime. And you're facing a wall, my friend, you don't know what to do. Some are facing the wall that maybe your mate, a husband or wife, walked off one day with somebody else and left you. Just a few months ago, one of our good ladies in our church has been there for over 20 years. Matter of fact, when that family has got girls now that are about grown and up in their senior high school years. Preacher, when they joined my church, them girls were just little babies in the nursery. And that man and woman came and was at our church. And this man, after years, listen, one day met this woman and just left this wife and three children, left two teenage girls, and one of them was a senior high girl, came in my office and sat and wept and cried and said, "Preacher, I asked my dad, could you just come to my graduation?" And he said, "No, I won't be there. I'm not coming." And she sat and wept and cried. I mean, my heart was broken, but a wall to her that she could not face and a wall that she could not move is what I'm trying to say. And here is a man that had a wall that he could not move. In other words, he was facing the wall. Now, what to do when you're facing the wall? Can I give you what this man done? And it'll work. And I'm going to give it to you here. Number one, when you're facing the wall, remember that God still hears the prayers of the faithful. When you're facing the wall, remember that God still hears the prayers of the faithful. You know what it did? The Bible said in verse 2, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying..." Amen. And here's what he said, "I beseech thee, O Lord." In other words, "I beg thee." And then he said, "Lord, remember." You know, if you're going to get your prayers answered, you better have some stuff to say, "Dear God, do you remember when I did this and did this and served you over here and did this?" He's calling to remembrance some things to God. He's got something there to say, "Lord, remember when I was doing this for you and doing that for you?" And folks, let me tell you something. God still hears the prayers of the faithful. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Amen. And he said, "Remember how I've walked before you in truth and how I did this and I done that." And so he hears the prayers of the faithful. You know, God, my friend, the Jeremiah 33:3 is still real. It says, Jeremiah 33:3 said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." Now that's simply, you can say anything you want to about prayer, but you don't make it no more clear than that. Call and God said, "I'll answer." "Call unto me and I will answer thee." And then he said, "I'll show thee." He said, "Call me and I'll answer you and I'll show you." And that's what he did here for this man. You know, tonight, friend, if you're facing a wall you can't do anything with tonight, you know, the best thing and the greatest thing you can do is go straight to God. Amen. And begin to pray. Amen. You know, I really believe with all my soul, friend, that God, even in this country, America, I really believe that God's trying to bring it back to where that simply we just simply get back to prayer. Do you know, we're in a fix. I mean, listen, brother, I don't care who gets in the White House. Hey, listen, everybody thinks, well, if Fisting gets in, he's going to straighten. Let me tell you something, friend. You could resurrect George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Ronald Reagan, and everybody else, and put them all in there. And I'm telling you right now, they're not going to straighten out this mess. Amen. Hey, preacher, I'm telling you right now, we're up against a wall that the only way to get it straightened out is if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal the land. He said, you want the land healed? Get back to the prayer time. See? And I'm going to tell you something, brother. The homos has come out of their closets because we quit going in ours. And I'm telling you right now, now that you about to go to jail if you say anything about that kind of stuff, it still makes God vomit. It still sickens God. But I'll tell you what I think really bothers God equally as bad is when God's people turn their back on Him and don't pray. Brother, let me tell you something tonight. If there's ever been a time when God's people need to get on their knees and cry out to a holy God, it's in these days. You know, I believe churches face walls. And we try everything. We try, and I'm not against doing all you can do, but you know, I really believe that with all my soul, sometimes what we really need to do is just get some old-fashioned prayer meetings going in our churches and get the prayer room heated back up and get people to praying. You see what I'm telling you? Hey, I heard a story. A true story about a preacher that had he was out in the country and had a church building that, boy, God began to bless that place. And it was like it is in here. Preacher is just full and no seating. And they couldn't really go much to the left. They were sort of just a little ways. And then they were sort of landlocked. And over here to the right, they couldn't go too far. And the highway was right in front of them. And they owned several acres behind them, but it was straight up. It was just a big hill right up against the back of the building, a mountain really, that was 4 or 5 acres, but all it was straight up. You've seen it. I mean, built right into the back of the church. And Brother Brown, this preacher, he was just burdened. His church was growing. He didn't know what to do. And he said, I don't know what to do. And he was reading the Word of God. And over there in Matthew, where it says, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed hence to yonder, and it shall be done. And this old preacher got his men together one Saturday night, and he said, fellas, I read this verse over here, and it said, if a man had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and he could say to this mountain, be removed hence to yonder. He said, now fellas, he said, if God really means what He says, he said, I believe we need to start praying and believing that God will move that mountain. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother, you better be serious, because that's serious stuff right there. I mean, no other way. They didn't have equipment. They didn't have the money to move it. A church, it was just like this, a growing. But all they had about 3 or 4 acres back here. It was all mountain. No other way they could go. And that church got to call in special prayer meetings, and people began to pray. And I'm talking about a month passed. And then the second month, they was meeting every night and calling on God and asking God to move that mountain. And one day the pastor was in his office there, and the door opened up, and a man come through the door with some work clothes on and a big old white hard hat. And a man walked in, and they was working, preacher, on the road like they are down here. Blow your place. And he said, you the pastor? And he said, yes. He said, sir, I need to talk to you. He said, do you own the property behind you? And the man said, yes. Yeah, we own that hill, if that's what you're talking about. We own that mountain right there behind us. He said, well, sir, he said, we're needing some dirt. We're working on this road down here, and we need several tons and tons of just dirt. And he said, somebody said that you might would sell us some dirt. And the pastor almost, I mean, he just about fell to the floor and said, now what did you say? And he said, somebody said you might would sell us several tons of that dirt. He said, we'd be willing to pay you good money. He said, sir, hang on just a minute. You mean to tell me that you'll come behind my church and move that mountain of dirt back there, move that whole mountain, and you'll take the dirt and you'll pay us for the dirt? He said, yes, that's what I'm telling you. And the man just began to shout and cry, and he about hugged that construction foreman. He said, sir, you absolutely got a deal. And brother, that church had a camp meeting when he announced that to his church. Preacher, they not only come in there with dozers and end loaders and huge trucks and moved it and made it as level as the floor in his auditorium. Brother, they moved every bit of that out, but they paid him for enough to build the addition and add to it. And they built everything and didn't owe a dime. You know what they had? They had a wall there that they were facing, but the only thing that could move that wall was God. And when they prayed and they asked God, would you move that mountain? God, move that mountain. And I'm telling you something tonight, that you may be up against a wall that you can't move, but you need to be like old Hezekiah and turn your face to that wall and say, there's a God in heaven, and pray to that God and ask God to move that wall. You know, I've got some walls right now, Brother Bell, that I'm trying to pray through and ask God to do some things, and only God can do that. And I'm watching God do some things right now that's just unbelievable what God's doing to get the wall moved. And He's all I've got. You know, it's good that some God, times God backs you in a corner where you can't lean on nothing else. They ain't nothing else. It's just you and God. Now let me say this tonight. That's all you need tonight. He's all you need. And when you're facing the wall, remember that God still hears the prayers of the faithful. Then let me say this right here. When you're facing the wall, could I say that God still puts a lot of stock in faithfulness? You know what He said? He said He turned His face to the wall, verse 2, and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech Thee, O Lord, remember how I've walked. You know how He walked? He walked faithful. He said, in truth. You know, John said, I have no greater pleasure than to hear my children walk in truth. Isn't that right? Yes. Hey, do you know what? He said, I've been faithful. Folks, let me tell you something. You know, we ought to be so faithful. And you know, you may not can sing and play instruments. You might be a member of this church and you can't get up here like Brother Matt and sing like that. You can't get up like Miss Carla and these precious ladies that got up tonight and sang and those ensembles and quartets and trios. And you may not can play that piano like these ladies do, or play that organ like they do. You may not can do any of that, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can be faithful. You know, you can be here every time them hinges squeak. You can come in here and you know what? God's keeping the record. And you can be faithful. You know, it didn't say it's required in stewards that a man be found good looking. If it had said that, I'd have been slap out. You know, it's good that it didn't say that it's required in stewards that a man be educated. If it was, listen, I would be way out without anything. Do you know, it doesn't say it's required in stewards that a man be found talented. But it does say it's required right, that a man be found faithful. Amen. God still puts a lot of stock in faithfulness.
Amen.
You know, God will honor you when you walk right.
Right.
Verse 3, He said, I beseech Thee, O Lord, remember how I've walked before Thee in truth. You know, you need to walk right.
Yep. Right.
Hey, I'm talking about, listen, be faithful, but walk right, do right,
right.
Live right. Amen. Live a clean life.
Amen.
Hey, I'm talking about live right so that when the wall comes up, you can go to God and say, Lord, remember how I've walked before You and I've stood with You and I've did that which was right. And then you got something you can go to God with. You know, old Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. He said, I'd come to His seat and argue my cause. You know what he was? He'd been faithful. He'd been faithful. You know, God, Brother Brown, God uses faithful people. You know, when He called David from being the shepherd of the sheep to be the king of Israel, you know what he was doing? Preacher, he was a faithful shepherd.
Amen.
Hey, when He called Abraham to be the lead, found the Jewish nation and be the founder of the Jew, you know what He did? He was faithful.
Amen.
When He called Moses was faithful. You're not going to find, listen, and I'd rather have somebody, you know what, you build churches with faithful people.
Amen. Amen.
You, all this hit and miss kind of stuff, man, you ain't got no, you can't go to God. Amen. On that kind of thing. But if you've been faithful, you know that woman over there got her prayers answered, that widow in Luke 18 that got her prayers answered, you know how she done it? She was faithful to keep coming back, and she kept coming back, and she kept coming back. And finally, that old wicked king, that unjust judge said, give her what she wants, man. She's a consistent giver, whatever it is she wants. I don't know what it was, but she's facing a wall. But whatever it was, she got it.
Amen.
You know why? She's faithful. You know why this church tonight is what it is? You know, this man stayed here 23 years. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he stood behind this old pulpit and preached the truth of God's Word to you folks and labored right among you and stayed here. And that's why this is what it is. And then, thank God, there's been people.
Amen.
And staff people.
Amen.
And members, lay people that have stayed here at the Anchor Baptist Church. And year in and year out, they just did what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
And you know what? That's what makes churches great. That's what makes things where you be faithful. See, God puts a lot of stock in faith. Hey, when it says God requires something, now some stuff you can take or leave, but not faithfulness. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that what it says? 1 Corinthians 15:58. See, God puts a lot of stock in faithfulness. You ought to be faithful.
Amen.
You know what? I'm not the best preacher in North Carolina. I ain't even the best preacher in my county or town. But you know something? I can be faithful.
Amen.
Hey, I can be faithful. And you can be faithful. And when you hit the wall, you can go to God and say, Lord, I have been faithful. I've been faithful to you. You know something? Faithfulness means everything in the world, in anything. You know why businesses is failing? You know why we're in a shape in this country? Because we got a lot of people that likes to work about 2 days a week. Yeah, man, you ain't going to build no business working 2 days a week. You got employees coming in. I had a man walk in my office one night, a foreman of a big business. And he said, I'm quitting my job. And Pastor, I've come in to tell you tonight, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go take a job as a welder. Now this man was making big money and he was over about 50 employees in a boat company, fasteners of boats and nuts and all that. He had a good job. And I said, well, why are you leaving? I said, don't they pay you good? He said, oh yeah, I make good money. I said, what's the problem? He said, preacher, he said, people will not come in to work. And he said, it's running me crazy because I show up every day.
Yeah.
And they show up on time. And he said, I mean, they're out for this one day and they miss for this the next day. And they come one day and work one day and miss three and work two and miss four. Come and miss two and miss one. And he said, it's just literally, he said, I can't take it. It's too much pressure. And you know what he did? He went and just got him a job as a layman, took a big cut as a welder. But now that man's done worked his way up back to where he's forming down there now. You know why? He's faithful every day. Hey, you know what? Just when you're facing the wall, just remember this, to be faithful. God puts a lot of stock in faithfulness, you see. Oh, let me tell you something. Any church I know that's ever been built, works that's been built, great works for God that's ever been built, it's where people were faithful. I think about Brother Brown down here, pastored 30-some years out there in Iowa, faithfully. 35, 36 years longer, 37 years, I don't know, way up there in years and years. Pastor, Brother Bobby Robertson, 55, 56 years down there where he's at. Tom Malone, 40 years. Your pastor here, 23 years. Hey, you know what it is? Faithfulness. And folks, when you face the wall, God puts a lot of stock in faithfulness. Let me give you this. Then remember, when you're facing the wall, that God's still able to perform miracles in fearful situations. Hey, let me tell you something, brother. When he come in and told him this, it struck fear. And you know, old Isaiah, of course, I wouldn't say anything against Isaiah, but you know, it didn't look like there's a whole lot of compassion right here, brother. He just walked in, made that announcement, walked right out, didn't he? He didn't say, brother, I'm praying for you, and if anything I can do to help you, here's my cell phone number. Brother Bell, he didn't say, look, brother, I'm going to get hospice to come by. I'm going to get somebody to come by and sort of set with you. You know what he did? He just made that announcement and said, hey, bud, better get everything in order. God's getting ready to take you out of here. You're getting ready to die. But you know what? God, when he was facing the wall, he remembered that God still has power to perform miracles in fearful situations. Now, and that's in verses 4 and 5. And it came to pass that Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. And behold, I will heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. In other words, you're going back to the palace. You're going back and sit on the throne again. And Isaiah hadn't got out of the middle court to get in his chariot to leave. He's walking towards the parking lot, Brother Lee. And God said, hey, hang on just a minute. I need you to go back and give him another message. He said, turn again and go back. You know why? He said, I've heard his prayer and have seen his tears. You see, God, there it is, prayer. And I'm going to tell you something else, tears. Now you and me, we was talking about today, me and your preacher was talking about today at the table. You don't see too many people with tears now. And when they do have them, they're squalling over something they shouldn't be crying about. Amen. Most of it's some old selfish something or some old silly something they've seen on the television or something. You know what I'm talking about? Some old something that don't make no difference no how. Most time we cry, it ain't over anything worth crying about.
Amen.
But if you're going to take time to cry, cry over something worth crying over.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
And brother, let me tell you something. Hezekiah was crying over something worth crying about, wasn't he?
Right.
They said, you're going to die and not live. But you know what he did? He turned his face to the wall. And he cried and he prayed and he presented his case. You know, I've seen God do some things that's just really unbelievable.
Amen.
Brother Brown, my mother is just an old West Virginia country girl. And my mother, this has been, I guess, 10 years ago or more than that. But my mama had colon cancer. And then when they found the colon cancer, they found a mass, they said, this big in her stomach, right in here. And the doctor was from over in them countries, you know, where we're fighting somewhere. He's from over in there. And I drove up from North Carolina to see my mom in the hospital. Well, I was in there, Brother Yoder, when he come in. And he told her, Miss Cox, you're going to surgery in the morning, and we're going to do surgery, take out about a foot of your colon. It's cancerous. But he said, I'm not even really worried about this. He said, I'm worried about that huge mass. He said, it's big, and I'm pretty sure it's cancer. And he said, it's very complicated, and I'm not even going to do the surgery myself. I'm getting another doctor to assist me. And when you get over the colon cancer surgery, we're going to have you to come back after Christmas and get you in here and do these x-rays, and then we're going to do the surgery there. He said, now I want to tell you that you need to be real concerned about this. And my mama, this is, you know, she's a Christian and saved, and mama's just an old country gal. And she looked at that doctor and she said, well, doc, I want to tell you something. She said, there's a God in heaven. That's exactly what she did. She said, there's a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer.
Amen.
And she said, I'm saved and this is my boy and he's a pastor of a Baptist church and I got a good Baptist bunch of people praying for me that love God. And she said, we're going to pray that mass just leaves. Preach, I'll never forget it. As long as I live, he was standing right beside me and he looked at my mama and he said, psst. He went, psst, just like that. He said, well, you come back and we'll do the x-rays, but I'll see you in the morning for surgery. Well, he turns, Brother Brown walks out of the room, and Mama looked at me and said, well, God does hear prayer. I said, well, Mama, I know He does. I said, was that Abraham there, bless God, didn't believe believe in prayer? Amen. I said, I know He does. She said, well, I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray. And ma'am, the next day she had surgery, everything went good, goes home in the hospital. About a month and a half passes, she gets back in there. And preacher, they brought her in there to do the x-rays. And my sister, it's in heaven now, Lisa, that many of y'all prayed for Lisa, she took her to the doctor that morning. And they took her in there, and we'd been praying for that mass. And I'll just be honest, I was sort of bracing myself, just hoping that God would touch her. And she went up there, and they got her in the room where they take in for the x-rays. She was laying on her stomach on one of these little beds with the rollers on it. And a little nurse was in there, and my mother was telling this little nurse about this mass. And she told about that doctor, said, "The doctor don't really much believe in prayer, but we do. We really believe God." And that little old nurse said, "I do too, Miss Cox. I believe God." And my mama said, "Are you a praying girl?" And that girl said, "Yes." She said, "Would you pray with me?" My sister's sitting out in the waiting area. Well, she said, "Would you pray for me right here? That God just touch me. Take it away." And that little old nurse, my mama said, laid her hand on my back. And she said, prayed the sweetest prayer, asking God to not let there be anything in there. And you know, they rolled her in. They done them x-rays, Brother Bell. And then they, of course, rolled her back into a little old holding area there. And they brought them x-rays out, and they hung them up with the old ones. You know how they do. They had the ones with the mask on it hanging here. And then they brought them in, and the girl got on the phone and called the doctor and said, "Doc, come up." Said, "I want you to come up and look at these x-rays." And here he comes, same man. And he come in there and he looked, and my mom's still laying on her stomach. And she said, "I could hear him." And this is what he said. He looked at them x-rays. He said, "I don't believe it." And mama said it sort of scared me because he didn't say what he didn't believe. She just said, he said, "I don't believe it." And he said, "Get Dr. So-and-so up there." That was the doctor who was going to assist him. And he said, "Doc," he said, "look right here." He said, "This is the x-rays we took 2 months ago." And he said, "Today, here's the x-rays." He said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know." And mom said, "Well, Doc, what is it?" He said, "There's nothing there." Hey, my mama said, I rolled over and told her, said, "Doc, I told you, there's a God in heaven." And she said, he just walked out of that room. But you know something? That little nurse went there and found my sister and hugged her, and they jumped up and down and cried. And my sister called me on the phone, and she said, "God took it away. God took it away." Now, let me say this. God don't always take it away. But this is it. But God can. And she's still living today.
Amen.
And she's never had another problem with that. You see, when you're facing the wall, remember that God still has power to perform miracles in fearful situations. You see, God still controls sickness.
Amen.
God still controls situations.
Amen.
Then let me say this right here, and I'm done. When you're facing the wall, remember that God still has a promise to His friends. And His promise is this: there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, I'm a blessed man. I got some
in.
Brother Bell, I sure thank God for you. And Brother Brown, you preacher friends. I'll tell you something. I'm so blessed to have good friends. And I'm going to tell you, I value my friends. I really do. I mean, I thank a lot of them and love them all. And lots of them, I got like your preacher, that I can't see him every week or get to talk to him real often. But I think as much of him as I do if he lived right next door. I love him. But you know something? Let me tell you, friend, tonight, when you're facing the wall, sometimes our friends down here can't help. You know that if I was having surgery in the morning, Brother Bell, and you went with me right up to the room where they're going to roll me into that operating room, you know you can only go so far. But there is a friend that'll hold me by the hand and walk with me all the way to the operating table. And while they're operating on me, he's standing right there. And he said this. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Brother, he never leaves. In the darkest hour of your life, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know something? When you're facing the wall, you're not alone. For one day, he faced a wall. And it was the wall of Calvary's cross. And you know what, my dear friend? On that day, listen, he went there for you and he went for me. He really didn't have any cross really other than the one you and I put him on for our sins. But I thank God. You know what the Bible said in Psalm 46:1? God is our refuge and strength, A very present help. Hey, it don't just say he's a present help. It'd say good if it just said he's a help in a time of trouble. It said he's very present. You know what that means? That means when you're facing the wall, if you turn around, you'll bump into God. That's what it means. If the wall's right here, Brother Bill, if I turn around, guess what? I'll bump right into God. You know why? He's a very present help. He's right there. He will hold to my hand. I'm not holding God's hand. He's holding mine. My grip's too close. They said old Billy Kelly, and a lot of y'all wouldn't know who he is probably. Old Billy Kelly was an evangelist. And he had a little boy to die. Brother Brown way back yonder had a little baby boy to die. And they said, old Billy Kelly, and Brother Bill, I don't think I could do this. But old Kelly stood by the casket. And Mays Jackson preached the funeral. And it said that old Billy stood there and sung, I'll meet you in the morning. Stood and sung it.
Amen.
You know why he could do that when he was facing the wall of a dead baby boy? You know how he could do that? Because there was one that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
When he's facing the wall.
Yes.
Hey, if you're facing the wall tonight, let me tell you something. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
Amen.
No,
Amen.
Not one.
Right.
No,
Amen.
Not
That's right,
one.
Amen.
Hey,
Amen.
Listen, Jesus, and I'm done. But you know something? That old Charles Weigel got saved and was going to be an evangelist. And we got into preaching, and his wife didn't want any part to do with that. She didn't want any part of that. She told him, said, Charles, if you continue on the ministry and you're going to be an evangelist, I want nothing to do with it. I'm going to take our little girl and I'm going to leave you. Preacher got on a train one day and left. And old Charles Weigel, sitting in a little lowly room by himself, took out a piece of paper with a broken heart when he was facing the wall. And he took out a pen and penned these words. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in Him a friend so kind and true. Oh, let me tell you, no one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Amen.
Folks, let me tell you something. When you're facing the wall, He'll be there.
Amen.
Hey, just remember, He still hears the prayers of the faithful. He still puts a lot of stock in faithfulness. He's still performing miracles in fearful situations. And listen, He's still your friend. He'll be there. You know, tonight, somebody in this room, I don't know who you are, but somebody's facing the wall. I'm not going to give an invitation. But if you are tonight, I hope these few scattered remarks tonight helped you out a little bit. That's sure what I wanted to do.
Amen.
And you know, tonight, brother, you may not be facing a wall tonight. I don't know. Son, you may not be facing a wall tonight. But one day. You know, the weather can change so fast. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm through preaching. I'm going to turn to preacher. Old brother Kirby Campbell, as I told you, was pastoring a church in Washington. Brother Brown, you've been out there with him, ain't you? And old brother Kirby was getting ready to go for a simple kind of a surgery. And he goes into a doctor's office and they take a needle to put in his back to do a block. And when they run it in there, they made a mislick with that needle. Changed his whole life forever. Forever. It's changed his life forever. You know what it is? Tonight, he's up against a wall. But Brother Brown, every time I talk to him, it's, oh, God's so good. God's so good, Brother Cox. God's doing this, and God's opened up doors for me to go here. Now, he's in constant pain, and he's facing a wall. But I'll tell you one thing. He sure has got close to God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, old Hezekiah was facing that wall. But there was God was with him, and God heard him, and God changed things for him. I'm just saying to you tonight, when the wall comes, remember, there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father, I, Lord, have done the best tonight I could do. Lord, I know, Lord, tonight that I don't have sometimes the best sermons, but Lord, I know, God, tonight when truth is taught and preached tonight, Lord, you can take it and use it in a big way. Lord, under my voice tonight, some young lady some young man, some young married couple, some senior citizen, somebody tonight in some way, shape, or form is facing a wall. And dear Lord, tonight all I was wanting to do is to tell them, Lord, about You. That You're there and You hadn't run out on them. And that, Lord, Your altar of prayer is still open for them. And that, Lord, they can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in time of need. And Lord, I pray as Brother Brown comes that You'll just anoint him with God's touch and preach him like You ain't never preached him before. I thank You, dear Lord, for this meeting and Brother Bell and these good people. Lord, it's been my pleasure to be here these nights and to try to encourage the saints of God. And I pray that You'd bless again in the next service. In Jesus' precious, precious name, amen.